Well, good evening, Go Country Baptist. This is my first time being on the channel here to share just a nice message, a timely message for us this evening out of James chapter 4, verses 1. But before we begin, let me introduce myself. My name's Kevin. I'm one of the deacons here at Go Country Baptist Church, and I spend most of my time ministry focus is in the high school program, so that's where you'll find me most of the time. But Corey asked me to share a message with you guys, and what we've been doing with the high schoolers during this time is going through the book of James. We haven't stopped. We've continued on, and we're further along, but I wanted to share this passage with you that I have here, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So if you would, grab your Bibles, turn over with me to James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and I'm reading out of the New American Standard Version here. This is the word of the Lord. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And just in our short time here, I want to just walk through this passage. And then things to avoid is what it's titled here in the NASB, this section. And here we get to the heart of conflict. Here we get to the heart of what most problems we run across when we're engaging with other human beings in our lives, and specifically even in our church, because the church is not exempt in this situation. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? As a parent of four kids, I am no stranger to sources of quarrels and conflicts, and you who are parents out there could understand this as well. And even younger high schooler students and even younger, you guys know what causes fights for the most part. And what causes these fights is our own selfish desires. And that's what James says there. Is it not the source, your own pleasures, that wage war in your members, your physical body, your mental mind, your spiritual state? All of these things are the cause and the source of the trouble that you face and the quarrels and the fights that you have. If you can even just look back on just a time when you had an argument with your spouse, with your kids, with anyone, it doesn't matter, coworkers, your boss. If you were to boil it back down and you were to replay that time and that incident in your mind, you would find it was because of the pleasures that wage war in you, whether it was you or whether it was the other person. The quarrel started with our own pleasures, our own selfish desires. That's where it begins. And what is those selfish desires? What's in the heart of man? We know in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But jump over to 2 Timothy 3:2. And I'll read verses 2 through 4. You don't even have to turn there. I'll just read it for you right here. Here's the heart of man. This is the kind of heart that we're dealing with. Here's the source of why we have conflict. Here it is, the word of the Lord. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That is the situation we're walking into. When we have sources of conflict, that's what's going on inside. That's what's going on inside the heart. That's the flesh. That's where we're going. And he expounds on this. Okay, so it's this pleasures, your sinful pleasures, your own selfish desires that are bringing this out. But there's three things here, in just in this small passage here in verses 2 through 3, that lead to these quarrels, this internal fight. And the first one is uncontrolled desire. Look at the first half of verse 1, the second half of verse 1. Is it not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? This is an internal war of sinful desires, and you're fighting against that. And then the second one is unfulfilled desire. And we see that in the beginning of verse 2. We see this unfulfilled desire. And we also see in this passage, we see it shift from this internal heart desire over to an external action. Look at this, verse 2. You lust, internal, and do not have. So you commit murder, the action, the external. You are envious, internal, and cannot obtain. So you externally fight and quarrel. There you have it. So if you were to boil it down, and you're sitting with anyone who's fighting and arguing, even with your own kids or with two people fighting, you can boil it down and just go to this passage. And if you dig deep enough into back and forth with each side of the party, with them fighting, each of them has their own desires that they're running with. They have their own passions, their own selfishness. How many times as parents do you see that when your kids are fighting? It's like, wow, you're being selfish and you're being selfish. There's really no winners in this situation. And it's the same thing with us. It's no different. It's not like this passage is just for kids. This is for adults. You guys know that adults fight too. And it's because of our selfishness. We're completely selfish. And then the third aspect of things that cause quarrel and conflict is our selfish desire. And we see that in the end of verse 2 through in the beginning of verse 3. Because you're wanting your own desires. You want things your way. My way or the highway, not God's way, my way. That's the problem that we're running into here. And then it just begs the question as we look into this passage. I wrote this question down. Do you ask God for help or do you rely on yourself? Do you trust in God? Do you ask God for help? When you have these desires that you want, do you go to the Lord in prayer? Do you go to the Lord with this desire and go, Lord, this is a selfish desire. I want, help me to have the desires that you would have for me instead of my desires. Help me to think more like you. Help me to think more kingdom-minded and what can progress the kingdom and glorify you more than what my little selfish desires want. Do you ask God for help or do you rely on yourself? Look at verse 2, though. So you lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. That's a pretty dramatic escalation there. That escalated quickly. But isn't that where it all starts? All the lust, and you can look at murder, it's hate in the heart, as Jesus calls it in the Sermon on the Mount. He goes, you say you committed murder, but if you've hated your brother in your heart, you've already committed murder. And this isn't just murder of you or of another person. We're talking about even murder of yourself. I mean, suicide's up on the rate right now, you guys, and you guys probably know this. You guys are watching the news. When we have bad economies like this and things don't go our way and people get into really tough situations, you start to see these things. You start to see suicide go up. You see quarreling, fighting more, right? You see it up in DC. You see it at our local levels. You see it amongst us. We're seeing this kind of quarreling, fighting amongst us. I've had conversations with you guys. I know how we are. I know how I am. I know how I can be in the situation that we're in. Quarreling and fighting and division are creeping at our door. It is right there, guys. And we need to be so careful. We need to be so mindful of the spiritual warfare that's going on right now. Not just with this whole lockdown thing and the whole coronavirus thing. Think of what kind of spiritual warfare is happening right now that Satan would love to see us divided and quarrel. He would love to see the church. He would love to see Gold Country Baptist Church and all of its members doing everything right here. He would love to see us start quarreling and conflicting and having do our own pleasures. He would love to see that happen. Are we going to let him? Are we going to actually do that? Verse 3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. I bet you if you were to trust in the Lord, and I bet you if you spent more of your time in the Word and in prayer, you would be shocked to see how your desires and your motives change. You would be shocked to see, wow, the more I'm in the Word and I'm in the prayer and I'm in a healthy relationship with the Lord, the more likely I'm going to be more conformed to the image of His Son, and He's going to grow me, but He's going to change my motives. He's going to change my desires. It becomes less about me and becomes more about Him. Who else during this time in Jesus' ministry? There was another prophet right before Jesus who said, I must decrease, he must increase. That's John the Baptist, right? He understood this. He wasn't trying to be selfish. His own desires, these disciples were going, hey, look, he's getting more followers than you, and he's getting more attention now. And John the Baptist was like, great. Because he was more focused on the kingdom and what was to come. And then you may spend it on your own pleasures at the end of verse 3. When's the last time you asked for anything or wanted anything so that it could be more for God's sake and his glory instead of our own carnal fleshly desires and our own just even physical pleasures? When's the last time we asked for anything that was like that, where we go, Lord, I desire this because I want to see you glorified and you magnified in this situation. Or this situation, I wish we could have this happen so that you could be magnified and you could be glorified in this. When's the last time we did that? How many fights start with that? You don't see many fights that start that way when you have that kind of mindset. And that's what James is trying to do here. He's doing one thing after another. We're in the heart of this epistle right now. He set us up to take us right to this stuff. Verse 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Ouch. Ouch. And James using, he's just being honest with us here in this passage. He's trying to be straightforward with us and going, guys, you're being adulterous when you have friendship with the world and you don't have friendship with God. And you can't be a friend of the world and be friend with God, because if you're a friend of the world, you're hostile to God. Vice versa. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 8 says this. And here's the Lord talking in this passage, and he's talking about the state of Israel and how they've been unfaithful to him. And they're turning to idols and they're not following him. Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse 8, and I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I sent her away and given her a right of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also. This is how serious God takes it. This is how serious it is to him. This is how offensive it is to him. It's spiritual adultery when we make friendship with the world, when we indulge in our own pleasures, and when we don't focus on what God wants and what his program is all about. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Spiritual infidelity. And this friendship idea, this word for the friendship is phileo, and it carries this deep affection, a really deep affection for the world. Do you have a deep affection for the world? That's, I think, a fair question we need to ask ourselves when we see things like, am I a friend of the world? Does the world have no problem with me? Does the world have no problem with my message? Does the world have no problem with my actions in the world? Does the world have no problem with me in my workplace or at school? Would they even know that I'm a Christian? Because if you do have this phileo, deep affection for the world and its fleeting desires, you're going to find yourself in this situation. Read this next section of this verse. Friendship with the world, you're in hostility toward God. You're not just passive. It's not like you can play both sides of the aisle here. You can't go, okay, I'm going to be a Christian on Sunday, and then I'm going to be whatever I want on the next rest of the weeks and the rest of the days and do whatever I want. You can't do that. You're either a friend of the world or you're a friend of God. You could be a friend of God and the world's going to be hostile to you. The world's going to hate you. That's nothing new. They hated Jesus. How much more are they going to hate you? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You belong to God or you belong to the world. Those are your options. You have no other options. Even John talks about this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. I'll read this to you again. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. that sums up pretty much what James is talking about here. Same message, disciples, same story going across here. If you want to be a friend with the world, you're an enemy. If you want to be a friend of Christ, if you want to follow him, you're going to have to forsake the world. But it's not that you're getting a bad end of the deal out of this. It's not like you're going to be living in the long scheme of things, your life being just a little thing like this, and then eternity. This is nothing. God is asking you to sacrifice just so little. He's asking you to obey just for this time. Obey for this time. Repent and come back to the Lord. Follow me for just this amount of time, because the consequences are eternal. The consequences are everlasting consequences. And if you want to give yourself the pleasure in this world just for this a little bit of time, then you have an eternal consequence of separation from the Lord. That's huge. You either belong to God or you belong to the world. Verse 5, or do you think that scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he had made to dwell in us. And all God's people said, what in the world is that verse talking about? This is a kind of a weird passage in the Greek, but I like the King James Version and the way it translates this Greek phrase here in this verse. He jealously desires the spirit which he made to dwell in us, is basically what essentially is saying this. You are living proof, as scripture teaches, that the natural man has a spirit of envy. That's what's going on here. There's actually no verse that he's quoting here. He's just quoting the essence of the teachings of scripture here. He's not quoting an actual verse here, because you notice there's no cross-reference there. You are living proof, as scripture teaches, that the natural man has a spirit of envy. He's just summing it up now for us, going, guys, this isn't just my idea. Scripture talks about this. Scripture talks about it all through the Old Testament, how we have a spirit of envy, how we have a spirit of desires that are selfish and not others-focused or God-focused. So this kind of sets up a bad situation for us, right? Here we are in this state of misery, of selfish desires, of envy. We murder. We're adulterous to God. But then verse 6, read this. But he gives a greater grace. Out of all this great sin that we cause, out of all this great sin that we produce every single day, every hour of our life, he gives something that's even greater than that. Something greater than that. And what's that greater grace? That's the gospel. Here we have the gospel. He gives us the gospel. Whoever says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 3:34. He gives a greater grace. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And here he sums it up really nicely with just this proverb, chapter 3. If you come to God with a contrite heart, humbly before him, in repentance of your sin, recognizing, God, I have been a selfish person my whole life. Nothing special. I don't bring anything special to the table. The only thing I brought to the table is my sin that needs to be forgiven. That's the only thing I bring to this equation. There's nothing good I can do to appease you, to have this sin forgotten about, to be forgiven. There's nothing I can do in my own power that can do anything to change my state. But God does everything. God does everything. He's the one who gives you grace. If you come to God like that and you approach God with humility and you say to him, Lord, I am a sinner. I recognize the sin. Please forgive me of my sin. And I trust in you. That's the heart that God will listen to. That's how you can get God's attention. He's going to be opposed to you if you just think, you know, I got this all covered. No problem. I'll take care of all this. I can do this all on my own. And I've run across students like this, and just even doing high school ministry, I've seen kids on both sides of this aisle. Posed, they're prideful students who then go out into the world and want nothing to do with God again. And on the other side, I've seen people who are humble, and the Lord is growing his own children here. And he continues to give them grace. He gives them grace and we see them continually growing more and more into the image of His Son. So those are the questions I ask you guys, especially in this time. There's not much else that I wanted to talk about with you guys tonight, but just that question. When you think about these fights and conflicts you may have with even your own spouse right now, being at home, with family members, or with your friends, because I know some of you guys are disagreeing with each other. You guys are already arguing, maybe arguing about this person, that person, this person's way of thinking, this person's way of thinking. And it's causing you to be this. And if you were just to be honest with yourself, it's your own pleasures. Let's be honest. It's your own pleasures is why you're having this conflict and quarrel and all this quarreling amongst you guys. But God gives a greater grace. Thank the Lord for the gospel, because there would be no way we could solve this problem. We would continually be this way. We would continually be verses 1, 2, and 3 if it wasn't for the gospel. If it wasn't for Christ coming, if it wasn't for Him living the perfect life and not falling into this, because He's the Son of God, He could do that. He led that life for us. That way He could give us that righteous life and impute that to us. What a wonderful truth that is. So I'll leave you with that. I'll leave you with that. You either belong to God or you belong to the world. Which side are you on? What do you choose? Would you love to have a life with your spouse? Would you love to have a life with your parents, with your siblings, that doesn't have all this? I'm not promising that when you become a Christian that this is all going to go away, but it can get better. You have the Holy Spirit now to help you. You have God to help you. You can go to Him in prayer and ask Him for grace and ask Him for the power to help you become more like Christ and to love others better. Do you rely on God for help, or do you rely on yourself when you wake up in the morning when we're facing the situation that we're in? Is your first thought going to, man, if I was in charge, I would do this, it'd be my way, blah, blah. Or do you go, Lord, help me to have opportunities to share the gospel and to be a witness for You in this trying time, in this unprecedented time? I would encourage you guys to think about that this week. But let's go ahead and let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for Your word. We're thankful for how profitable it is and how sharpening and how piercing it is. And how it can get right to the heart of us and show our sin and expose us for what we are. And we definitely got that here in this passage. Pray, Lord, that You would cause us to be introspective and to look at our own hearts and mind and looking in areas where we're being selfish. And realize that my selfishness is the reason I'm in conflict with people. Lord, pray that You would use Your word this week, and that it would go out with power, and that it would change the hearts and minds of this congregation, of our church, and that we could be unified in love with one another, and that people would know that we are Your disciples because of our love for one another. In this I pray in Your Son's name. Amen.